Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Republican's crown last night. night. Oh, it was a Tuesday night. Fell right on their crown. I'm telling you, it fell on their crown, and they are so pitiful. They are pitiful. And as Tony Bennett said,
out of the tree of life, I just picked me a plum. You came along and everything started to hum. Still, it's a real good bet, the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come, and babe, won't it be fine? You think you've seen the sun, but you ain't seen it shine. Wait till the warm-up's underway. Wait till our lips have met. Wait till you see that sunshine day. You ain't seen nothing yet. The best is yet to come, and babe, won't it be fine?
The day is here. The best is yet to come. This is the last word, November 9th, 2012. And we have re-elected the man that's going to take us through every single thing that we need to get out of this debacle that we are in. Yes, sir. Let's listen.
Tonight, in this election, you, the American people, reminded us that while our road has been hard, while our journey has been long, we have picked ourselves up. We have fought our way back. And we know in our hearts that for the United States of America, the best is yet to come.
That's right. The best is yet to come. Now, we're having a little difficulty with our transaction here between headsets. But, Thomas, can you hear?
Yes, sir. I can hear you fine. Having a little fun today.
Well, I am so happy. See, we got an echo in here, don't we? Oh, we got to do it. You hear that?
I can't hear it at all, man.
I hear a delay. But now you can hear me, right? Well,
I can indeed. Hey,
the best is yet to come. And we got a caller. Let's see whose caller is.
I need to get.
Hello there.
Only voice. Yeah.
Hello there. Caller. Who's on the line?
Stan.
Well, I don't know who it is. I'll put you on mute. Unless you want to say something, caller. But anyway, it doesn't matter. We have a major, major, major change in the way government is working. Just as simple as that. Major change. We have Nate Silver. Tommy? Nate Silver.
I'm with us.
Nate
is the only one of all the prognosticators. Yes. Is the only one that got every single thing correct. The only one. He missed one, let's see, he missed one election someplace in North Dakota, South Dakota. He picked a Republican win. I think the Democrat won.
Right.
But he said 323 electoral votes for this president of the United States. And that's what happened. So we're in a position now. The president
they're all going for a wall. You can put them on.
And we're just getting worried that General Petraeus has offered his resignation to the president.
That's right here.
Because he had an extramarital affair.
Okay. I was wondering.
Unbelievable. Well, he was saying it all along that he was going. I mean, this is not like saying I want to spend more time with my family, is it? It's always easiest. You haven't? Oh, he is the CIA director. I guess you couldn't do that. Well, I mean, we have this. Barack Obama has made the case of an electoral triumph. His reelection was the most decisive mandate. More decisive than George W. Bush's two terms. More decisive than Bill Clinton's two terms. More decisive than even Ronald Reagan's two terms. Although Ronald Reagan did a massive blowout of the governor of Massachusetts when he ran against him, Dukakis. And we're going to talk about how much he has had a my earpiece was talking in my ear then. We'll talk about in a little bit later on how much he has actually blown out the other side. I just don't understand how they were so surprised.
The thing that bothers me the most about it, now, the surprise is, I think, half feigned. Because, anybody looking at the polls and looking at the setup and looking at the pre-vote, everybody knew, just from popular opinion, what was going to happen. They just didn't know the exact, down to the, we may lose the county here or there. But everybody could tell what was going to happen. But I just don't understand how, all over the internet, they've been replaying little clips and little segments, which are cracking me up. Because under the Bush years, you remember he came in with a sweeping mandate. It was like a tidal wave mandate that he could do anything anyway. And when he was reelected, they said that was proof positive that he had a mandate. Anything goes. He and Dick Cheney could just run the board with all of their special projects, any amount of wars, any amount of torture, any amount of stealing money. It didn't matter. Just shovel it by the, truckload out of the back of Baghdad. It didn't matter. Their electoral victory day, 271. And that was an absolute mandate. Now, these same Republican prognosticators, if you will, I don't even like to use the term. I like to say mouthpieces that they put on the news up here, which they aren't on the news. I have to remind you. But they're on their PR shows. They've been decrying Obama, saying that he has no mandate, that this proves that they have the mandate because they still have the House, and that he now has to bend to Republican will and support Republican programs, that he's going to have to come around on their ideas for the budget and for the economy because he's barely eked out a victory. But look at the numbers.
Well, listen to this.
In the history of
presidents of the United States, he's our worst at foreign policy.
This is a very weak, ill-conceived foreign policy.
Every place you look is failure.
The Jimmy Carter years look like the good old days compared to where we are right now.
The president has communicated weakness.
I mean, to tell you, these are the same people. Now, if you can find it, if I can find, see if you can find the one clip where that clown John Sununu, where he's saying that the president was lazy and ill-informed. Oh, I have it right here. Here it is, right here. You see it? I'm going to play this for us.
Well, Governor, I know you're not going to be shy. So how did you think he did? And are you pleased by the performance? He's gotten rave reviews almost universally.
Andrea, what people saw last night, I think, was a president that revealed his incompetence, how lazy and detached he is, and how he has absolutely no idea how serious the economic problems of the country are and how he has failed to even begin to address them. And I think even the liberal press reacted with shock at this revelation, and I find it fascinating now this morning after they've slept to watch them all scrambling around to clean up the mess the president left on the floor last night. On the other hand, Mitt Romney came in with a lot of specifics, a lot of very sharp knowledge of issues, not only with the Obama version of bumper sticker numbers, but the governor showed that he understands policy and he understands how to make policy into law, talking
governor,
about what he did in Massachusetts.
Governor, I want to give you a chance to maybe take it back. Did you really mean to call Barack Obama, the President of the United States, lazy?
Yes. I think you saw him admit it the night before when he delivered the pizzas. He said, you know, they're making me do this work. He didn't want to prepare for this debate. He's lazy and disengaged.
Lazy and disengaged. Yeah, we're gonna do a little moving here, so we can test out something. He's lazy and disengaged because he didn't want to serve pizza. I don't want to serve pizza either. I mean, give me a freaking break. This is John Sununu, the man who's been quiet for the last 21 years after he was run out of the White House for stealing. He should have been in jail. This is the nonsense that this president has put up with for 4 years. Why? Because he's a black man in the White House. That's all it is. That's all it is. And these people are so shocked. And why are they shocked? They are shocked because he's lazy. A lazy Kenyan communist who is not an American, not an American. And I will be talking about that later in my special comment. But he's not an American. How could he do this to us? We are, you know, when they say we, they mean the white men. Not women, men. Women don't count at all. Barefoot and pregnant. They still do not believe, and there is a segment here where I'm going to play where they talk about. They just did not believe that they could get more people, more African Americans, more Latinos to vote because they're all lazy. They're all lazy. The only people that aren't lazy are white men. They also, as President Bill Clinton says, they don't know math. The white vote in 1984 was 88%. It has been dropping every single election year. It is now down to 72%. Throughout the Midwest, they might have done something about that. But when you have these morons and these nitwits, you have these morons and these nitwits talk about why they cannot get a president or get into office, it's because that they, we still got static in the line.
You have static on the line?
Terrible, terrible static. Why don't you call in?
Okay.
You should be better. Call in here. Use this and call in. Because we got a static problem. We had a static problem before with Skype, so I want to get rid of the static. I don't want everybody to be here. Just close that and just call in.
Cut off?
And use it, yeah.
Cut it off.
Yeah. It's terrible. It's a terrible line. Anyway, we're gonna get this straight, ladies and gentlemen. We just have a little bit of problem with Skype here. Here, use this. Okay. Plug it in, too. Anyway, so this is the thing. They have lost. They're down now to 72% of the possible white vote. And out of that white vote, more than half are female. This is the problem. You're going to call in on the 716 number, right? Yeah, call in on the 716 number. Because I'm going to close you out on this one. Anyway, so they're in deep trouble. They are in actual deep trouble. Now, let's go back to this electoral college here. And the people just didn't understand that when you look at the electoral map, the president of the United States, when he ran Barack Obama in 2008, the electoral map then versus the electoral map now is the exact same thing except for one state. He won every single battleground state. And not because the president, the figure just came out that way. It's because that this president left people on the ground in these battleground states. Now let's see if you're on live now. How about that? Now
hey, Mike.
Oh, that's better.
Take care of the static?
Yeah, take care of the static, but now I hear echo because you're sitting right next to me. But anyway, the thing is that what we find is that the electoral map and the only difference is the states, is North Carolina. The only state that's different. And let me see. There is another thing I want for everybody to hear. So understand, you got to remember that Mitch McConnell said this when Barack Obama was being sworn in. Mitch McConnell and his 15 dwarfs.
Our top political priority over the next 2 years should be to deny President Obama a second term.
Now, when are these people going to say and admit that this is and what they did for 4 years? And here's what the president said.
Does the buck stop with your Secretary of State as far as what went on here?
Secretary Clinton has done an extraordinary job, but she works for me.
I'm the president, and I'm always responsible. And that's why nobody's more interested in finding out exactly what happened than I did. The day after the attack, Governor, I stood in the Rose Garden, and I told the American people and the world that we were going to find out exactly what happened, that this was an act of terror, and I also said that we're going to hunt down those who committed this crime. And then a few days later, I was there greeting the caskets coming into Andrews Air Force Base and grieving with the families. And the suggestion that anybody in my team, whether Secretary of State, our UN ambassador, anybody on my team, would play politics or mislead when we've lost four of our own, Governor, is offensive. That's not what we do. That's not what I do as president. That's not what I do as commander-in-chief.
Governor, if you want to reply
I think it's interesting. The president just said something, which is that on the day after the attack, he went to the Rose Garden and said that this was an act of terror.
That's what I said.
You said in the Rose Garden, the day after the attack, it was an act of terror. It was not a spontaneous demonstration. Is that what you're saying?
Please proceed, Governor.
I want to make sure we get that for the record, because it took the president 14 days before he called the attack in Benghazi an act of terror.
Get the transcript.
He did, in fact, sir. So let me call it an act of
Can
terror.
Can you say that a little louder, Tammy?
He did call it an act of terror.
The videotape doesn't lie. Candy Crowley and the president were correct.
No acts of terror will ever shake the resolve of this great nation, alter that character, or eclipse the light of the values that we stand for. Today we mourn for more Americans who represent the very best of the United States of America. We will not waver in our commitment to see that justice is done for this terrible act, and make no mistake, justice will be done.
In fact, President Obama was even more explicit about the act of terror a day later.
What I want all of you to know is that we are going to bring those who killed our fellow Americans to justice. I want people around the world to hear me, to all those who would do us harm. No act of terror will go unpunished. It will not dim the light of the values that we proudly present to the rest of the world. No act of violence shakes the resolve of the United States of America.
All right, now. Go ahead.
Are we good?
I hope we're good.
Are we back on?
Okay, gee. Now,
so here's the problem. The electoral college, all of this stuff that they're promoting, it's been the same, like you said.
Right.
The only difference is, much like the white sheep that they keep watching, things shrink over time. Populations change. So there's been a very slight diminishment for the first time ever in relative Caucasian power versus relative minority power,
right,
because of changing demographics.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. So the only real change over time has been that there are more minority and or immigrant, ethnic, however you want to term it, votes. There's more Asians. There's more East Indians. There's more Hispanics, there's more, you know, African Americans, there's all of this.
Well,
so that's true, that the Republicans can, like, see a shift in demographics.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is that they keep beating the same, you know, 1850 drum and wondering why no one's dancing to the beat, you know?
Well, here's the thing. The only demographic, and I thought I had it in here, but I don't. The only demographic that Mitt Romney won was
Planet of Kolob. What the hell?
was the elderly.
Right.
The 40 and up crowd. He lost the 18 to 29.
Mm-hmm.
He lost them by 60%. He lost African Americans by 73%. He lost Latinos by
And he lost Latinos at 73%. He lost African Americans by 95%. He lost gays by 60%. He lost every single demographic. Every single demographic. Wasn't close in any demographic.
Right.
So how do you now come back from any sort of government? How do you come back from any sort of any sort of election, and then come and tell your people that it's all a lie? It didn't happen that way. Don't believe your lying eyes. Believe us, who have been lying to you for the last 4 years. Matter of fact, we lied to you during the Clinton administration when we said all the evil things about Clinton, that it was going to shut down the government. We were going to bankruptcy. Clinton created the largest in the history of this country, the economic upgrade that we had under President Bill Clinton. Over 22 million jobs he created in 8 years.
The
most vibrant economy in the history of the world, and these people still do not get it. They do get it, but the problem is...
No, but here's the real problem, Mike. They get it. They're not complete morons. Well,
of course not.
Most of them are, but
yeah.
They aren't complete morons. They get it. They all made money. That was where all that money sitting in the banks was that they were able to stuff into their pockets.
Oh, and we haven't got there yet.
But listen, they're not in it, so they do know the truth. But the thing is, they have a problem with the truth because hate and misogyny and bigotry and all of these things that they like to preach to the narrow-minded crazies.
You mean like this?
How many of our Christians have what I call the two-goon syndrome?
Good government.
They want everybody to vote.
I don't want everybody to vote. Elections are not won by a majority of people. They never have been from the beginning of our country, and they are not now. As a matter of fact, our leverage in the elections, quite candidly, goes up as the voting populace goes down.
And that's the key. They don't want everyone to vote. They don't even want their own people to vote.
Right. Now, we've said this 100 times. But, you know, the only way they ever get these elections that are close anyway is when they drive down voter participation so much that, like, you know, 30% of the people show up at the polls, and then suddenly they're 50% of the vote, you know,
right,
or something. It's ridiculous. But, again, the problem they're going to have, and I think, hopefully, they just ran smack into the wall of modernity. But the problem they're going to have now is hate doesn't sell anymore. You know, you used to, you could rile up some people and go, you know, burn crosses in a front yard and stomp around in your good, clean white sheets, and it was okay. It would get people out. It would get them riled up and get them angry, right? Nowadays, they get angry, but in the opposite way, because they see it for what it is. It's thugism. It's backwards. I mean, that's why they were running ads. You know, this Romney Ryan ticket was like, you know, welcome to 1812 instead of 2000 or something. It's embarrassing, and that's why they're losing the you know, women vote, the youth vote, everything else. Everybody's moving away from that. So what they're going to have to do is actually stop the propagandic hate speech. That's all they've done. You know, everybody should deport themselves back to where they came from, except for the dreamy, you know, Aryans. But they need to stop all of that and grow the heck up. And, you know, move on. I mean, we even talked about last, did we not talk about last week? I think it was Sununu or somebody that, I mean, look at his origin. He came from immigrants. He was half Lebanese, half this and that. Yeah, didn't we have this whole...
We had this thing last week.
Are they going to stop?
His mother is Cuban and his father's Lebanese.
Right. So, again, you know, people don't run around going and calling him, he's an Islamo-fascist commie. You know, no, he's an American, okay? That's what adults say. Okay, he came from somewhere. He is, you know, from parents, and they have a genetic heritage that goes back to the dawn of time.
And what about the promises?
Join the future.
The promises.
Let me warn you,
And let me warn the nation against the smooth evasion that says, of course we believe these things, but we do not like the way the present administration is doing them. Just turn them over to us. We will do all of them. We will do more of them. We will do them better. And most important of all, the doing of them will not cost anybody anything.
I mean, this is Franklin Delano Roosevelt saying this in 1940. He was saying this in 1940. But you see, this thing would not happen if the people, the Rush Limbaughs and the Hannitys and whatnot, they, in order to take control, they knew there was a mindset out there that they could control. Because, and you've seen it before. You've seen it before. There's always somebody who, in school, you've seen it. You've seen it at work. There's always somebody who can knows who to pick up the weakest link, the weakest member. That's how a lion tracks a herd of antelope. They don't go after the head antelope.
Right.
They go after the stragglers.
Right.
And they kill them one by one. Well, this is what this daggone regressive party did. And the Republican Party needs to stand up and say, we got screwed because we wanted power so much we did not care who we took in the bed with us. It's like that commercial. You ever see that commercial of these people laying in bed with the eyes staring, and they look over on one of the mantelpieces in the bedroom? There's this big black panther sitting there licking his lips. And he said, and they're saying to the bed, we don't need an alarm system. We bought a rescue panther.
Yeah.
He said, and you know what? We don't need much sleep. Because as soon as they close their eyes, the rescue panther is no longer licking his chops. He's licking the blood off his mouth when he chews them up in the bed. They got in bed with the tiger. The tiger is now eating them from the ground up, and they do not know what to do. And this is a problem we're going to have. We are going to have a problem because we do not have a strong Democratic Party until we have a strong and vibrant Republican Party. And we don't have that now. You can't have the sun without night. You can't have rain without getting wet. You have to have two. And this nonsense, oh, we need a lot of parties here, that's a bunch of crap. It's as simple as that. That's a bunch of crap. We need two strong parties. We can't have one party so weak that they've been eating from the inside out because they sold their soul to the devil. And that's what the Republican Party sold out to, these regressive
teabaggers. The thing is, they went to the very base, right? And I don't mean that the basement base, you know, the lowest of the lowest common denominator. They found that those were the easiest people to sell anything to. You know, it's like a car salesman. You know, you could go and talk a poor handicapped child with an IQ of 50 into buying a car or something, but that doesn't make it right. And what they did was made a classic mistake of falling prey to their own BS, their own propaganda. Because when you start standing in a room with a bunch of simpletons, and we're all chanting conspiracy theory, yay, down with the terrorists, you know, and everything is hunky-dory, and on the third grade level that they were preaching at, and then they somehow get the twisted logic that, oh, this is the way we do it. This is the way. So look at what an easy sell this was. This becomes the message. And it's like, no. You're standing in a corner with a very select little group, and it isn't reality.
You're standing in the water. You're standing in a pool of water with a background pipe just broke, and you're not getting wet because you got an umbrella. But it's coming up to your ankles, not your kneecaps.
And again, this is, I mean, it happens over and over. You see it. This is what propaganda machines always end up with. In Nazi Germany, in Stalin Russia, you get, it's all great at first, and you can just say the most outlandish.
And it sounds great to get the blah blah
effect, and everybody gets a charge out on the pickup truck out back and forth. But
this got to wake up to get back to reality. Okay.
And BS is not reality. And they have lost
BS is BS.
They've learned. Yeah.
They forgot that. And they start
beginning to think that the Russian Limbaugh and all that, which are just entertainment shows. That's all they are. They're like.
They
like,
always say that when he said, listen, you're crossing the political line. Oh, no, we're just an entertainment show.
You know, and that's their defense from getting sued into the ground,
right.
Honestly. But it is the truth. They are entertainment shows that they then – it's like those reality shows you see on TV. Mm-hmm. Some people are too stupid to realize they don't think they're shows. They think they are real.
It's real. I mean,
you're scripted, edited.
You're on a
show.
Desert island, right? You're on a desert island with – supposed to be by yourself. You got 15 freaking cameras there.
Yeah.
People that design this fish in the ocean.
Well, here's the thing. These people have fallen prey to that. They think their own propaganda is reality, and they run around thinking that that's the real world, and that's how they win, and that's how they govern, and blah, blah, blah. And it's just not. And that's why it's falling apart on them. But like you said, if we don't get back to reality soon, the bad thing is they're destroying their party.
Well,
I mean, they're already half divided in Tea Party and regulars, and half of the Republicans that are responsible and logical have left the party already and gone to, you know, independents and all these other BS. But listen, the problem is when they're destroying themselves, they've just wrecked their own election, you know. They had a gimme on a bad economy, you know, a black guy in the White House, you know, every possible thing you could just say a plus column for anything they could do to win for a conservative, and yet they still completely
nuked it because
they just went to the base, right?
Well,
but listen, what they're doing is destroying the country, because in between all of this, in the little elections here and there, and this is the part that really worries me, in between, you know, we're winning the presidential elections, we're winning all the, you know, the senatorial seats, picking up all the, they're winning local elections. They're putting people in school boards, county commissions. They're taking over governorships in states. And we see these guys that are getting elected. They're almost non-functional. And a few of them have made it to the national stage. You know, we've seen the Bachmans and the Palins and everything else, and everybody has a nice chuckle when they get up to the point of making the national news, and when they say one of these statements that everybody just goes, what did they say? You know. But the problem is they have so bankrupted themselves and so broken themselves that they are starting to get a few of those people in the system, and it's going to end up killing the country if they
here's the thing. See, now, when we go on to that, but I just wanted to make sure, and to make this perfectly clear, you know, they also, like this health care plan, is that these politicians – all that, you know, the patronizing hypocrisy at the core of the GOP. And as this party marches on against government subsidies for health care, they don't want health care, but yet they want the federal government to be sitting in your doctor's office looking up your wife or your daughter's uterus.
Yeah.
They want them to be in the church and make sure that there's no Islamic infiltration in the church. They want to do all this, but yet they want less government.
Yeah.
Okay, they want less government, but they want to increase the military, but they want less government.
Well, remember, look, the best example of this, Bush Jr. created the Department of Homeland Security.
Right, right.
Which is, you know,
every time I think of the Nazis.
Yeah, that's what it's the same name.
Hey,
but anyway,
what was the movie?
This is the guy.
What's the movie with your friend you like? With they had the Starship Battle Troopers, whatever it is. Oh, who's that guy? What's
Robert
that guy?
A. Heinlein.
Yeah, hey, you wrote that. I mean,
yeah.
He's a Nazi.
But listen, this is the largest expansion of government in our history, the biggest department ever created, and a Republican did it. Right in the middle, mid-sentence of saying, we must shrink government. we don't need government. Government is the enemy. Let's drown it in a bathtub. All these statements they make all the day long while they're increasing things. Because, of course, what they mean is we need to surveil liberals. We need to surveil women. We need to scope out gays. We need to look at minorities. They might gather in a group of two or three people on a street corner, you know. But, hey, we don't want big government. We don't want anybody in our bank account. We don't want a tax. We've got the Cayman Islands for that.
Well, these Republicans, I wanted to read this one article here. It says for what these Republicans said, in politics, your opponent can be far more important than your vision. For a range of reasons, including the unusual fierce primary challenge that Republicans face from the right, the GOP did not offer a moderate case to the nation this year. Republicans presented the coldest, most concentrated pitch for self-individualism since Barry Goldwater. Historians may marvel at how Ayn Rand and the assault on takers became such mainstream themes in 2012, or how nationally televised primary debates developed into attacks on government obligations that were once located firmly in the zone of bipartisan censorship. National disaster response to be an obvious government project, but Romney felt the need to pretend that states should pick up the tab. Several Republicans disputed the duty of hospitals to provide emergency care for poor people, a humane tradition that was codified into federal law, yes, by Ronald Reagan.
The Gipper.
Now, all these things, they went after every single thing that the so-called 47%, but as we know now, it's not 47% because 51% voted for the president of the United States. So it had to be, well, I guess there's a few billionaires in there too, I guess. Huh?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah.
But here's the thing. They did not care because it's, and I can't remember what movie it was, where the guy was falling off of the cliff, the protagonist had him by the hand and was holding his hand. And what he did was rather fall into the abyss instead of being saved. What's the book? I'd rather serve the devil in hell.
Milton? Yeah, Paradise Lost.
Paradise Lost?
I'd rather reign in hell than serve
in heaven.
Mm-hmm. That's Lucifer.
This is what these guys are. And they're talking about that they are evangelical. They'd rather serve, be a boss in hell than serve with God in heaven. This is their mentality. And they know this. These guys aren't completely stupid. They saw that they have an ever-shrinking base. Because even some of the most stupid people that only watch Fox News and listen to Hannity and Rush Limbaugh and O'Reilly and Palin and Bachman, those morons that listen to them are leaving them. Because for 8 years now, since Bill Clinton, they have been crucifying the Democratic Party and the liberal and progressive wing. I don't even like the word progressive because it's liberal. Forget that progressive bull. That's a bunch of crap. I don't like that. They are
we do make progress. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Well, liberals make progress too. I mean, if it wasn't for the liberals, we wouldn't have you.
We wouldn't have any progress.
We wouldn't have any progress. The thing is that they know that their numbers and their time is date set. They know that.
Yeah.
And that's the reason why they want the Antichrist to come so this whole thing can be over with.
Yeah.
But so what their whole thing was, they knew, let me finish this, that they knew that they, if they could just get That president now, if they could just get that president in office in 2012, if they could just get him in one more time, they could control the Supreme Court for another two generations. It would take two more generations to reverse all the unseemly things that they put on the now 51% of us. Because, as I said on Monday before the election, 2016, they will never, or I should, 2016, they will only be able to get half the federal offices from the GOP in government, national government, by 2016. And by 2020, Texas will be back as a Democratic state. Mm-hmm. They will, unless they change, modify their beliefs.
Yeah.
On,
I mean, they're already losing Florida.
They're already
losing. Last election, they lost North Carolina.
They did not think they it would be this soon losing Florida because
right.
the Puerto Rican tradition that has moved into Florida, the Mexicans who have moved into Florida, now outnumber the Cubans, Americans who were traditionally, more traditionally, Republicans. And they did not see that. Karl Rove, the architect, and I have a Karl Rove. Fox News. It is a and I don't know if I have him blowing up here, but Karl Rove blew up. He went absolutely bonkers on Fox News because he was telling them all along, no, it's not. This is not true. We're not losing. We're in Ohio. He did not want to give up Ohio because he thought that they were going to come through. Now, I don't know if I can play this, if people can hear this, but matter of fact, why don't you let me see if I can get this done.
Okay.
And you do something.
Well, listen. One of the things that, I mean, I hate to use a Bush as an example of a responsible, logical person, but even the Bush family has been saying this for years. Now, granted, they did marry into the Colombian drug cartels, but that aside, you know, Jeb has been down there shaking the entire party half out of their tree to get them to come over and embrace the Hispanic vote and to quit demonizing them, you know,
mm-hmm.
Because he can just see the writing on the wall. I mean, the entire country is demographically shifting, and you can't stop the fact. So he's been trying for years now to get them to embrace the Spanish vote and to be more open and inclusive. I think now he's going to actually have, some weight because he's just been talking. They've been going, you don't know what you're talking about. We just need higher fences, you know, throw the bodies over. Now they're going to listen to him. Yeah, they're going to listen to him because they just got their elephantine ass handed to them, to be blunt. Sorry, Rush. Also, we've got several representatives, you know, down there, especially coming from Florida, but in Texas too, that just know the reality. Even the Republicans that are Hispanic know the reality, and they've been saying for a while, "Hey guys, you better quit demonizing us. You know, we're here, and there's nothing you can do." And I think there's going to be a seismic shift. I think that they can't not do it; otherwise, they're completely doomed, and they're going to be like, you know, 10 guys standing in
the
basement.
Well, I'm sorry, I disagree with you. I don't think.
Do you think
they will learn?
You think they're too stupid to
learn? I think. Listen, you know, there was a. I was.
Well, I mean, I know you were talking about Bill O'Reilly the other day saying that, you know, this isn't our traditional America anymore, you know, and they're doom and gloom in it. I know, but that's those talking heads again. That's those fools. The elders of the party have got to wake up. This has got to have been a wake up call. They just blew more money in the entire history of our country.
$6 billion.
On an election that they've just basically flushed down the toilet. So they've got to wake up.
But it
or they're,
don't
are they're,
he makes
they're,
that in Macau back
the biggest
in two
fools
days.
In the universe.
Well, but see, here's the problem why I disagree with you.
Okay.
They will not, they will not ever say go back and change this. Because every one of these morons on TV and radio will go have to be then shown to be absolute fools and have lied to their audience for 20 years.
But the thing is,
it's
we know
not
that
gonna happen.
We know that they've been lying forever. They don't care, but
right.
They may at least modify it in the future so that they're not this. Abject. I mean, this has been one of the worst seasons ever since Obama's been elected for complete racism and hatred toward others, toward any outsiders, toward any kind of what you would call other than the traditional. They have demonized anything vaguely Islamic or Middle Eastern. They demonized all the Hispanics. They've demonized all blacks. I mean, they just turn into monsters. I mean, look, this is and this is one thing. I've talked with you 100 times about this. It bothers me immensely that they haven't been brought up on charges of treason, because you have a party who not only actively spoke and preached hatred, but they actively blocked the government. They shut down our government for years. They have been obstructionist to the extreme. They have publicly stated their only goal was to stop and obstruct the President of the United States in any policies. And even more so, their own candidates, Ms. Palin, have joined the wingnuts and run public ads and websites that have things like sniper targets on top of candidates. And the result of that was we have a lady with her head half blown off that barely survived. And, Representative Giffords was she's an American hero now, but she was just a member of our government that was shot and almost assassinated by someone who is listening to this endless hate rhetoric. Now, how come that isn't treason? I mean,
Well, treason is when you actively perpetrate, betray your government.
And these are
now,
people who are putting sights on candidates saying we need to kill these people, they're against us, we don't like them, and then actively saying we are stopping
because
the President of the United
freedom
States.
Freedom of speech and treason is such a fine line.
Well, they like
but,
to hide behind it, but I mean, again, it's anti-Americanism.
Fox News, I mean, everybody's playing this now, the blow up on Fox News.
Yeah, okay, let's hear Rove.
And last night on, I believe it was, what's his name? Not Colbert, but on the what's the other guy? John Stewart. I mean, you just have to. I'm going to play this. You just have to listen to it.
The mainstream media basically favored Obama.
The numbers from the exit polling seems to kind of mirror or parrot the mainstream media.
When you've got the national liberal media working compulsively in your behalf, it is very difficult to break through the noise to the reality.
Do you think that the storm threw a monkey wrench in Mitt Romney's momentum because it disrupted the storyline?
One photo op walking over a 2x4, and all of a sudden he's handling a storm. And what changed? What about your model compared to the reality?
Well, I'm buried in a mudslide.
Hey, I got news for you, buddy. That ain't mud. But don't blame Dick. Blame the demographics.
This is the new America. This isn't your father's America. We are now in a turnout model that is totally different than we've ever had. Blacks are now 13% of the vote, not 11. Latinos are 10, not 8. The previous numbers were the 04 model, and I thought things would return to that. They didn't.
I thought the minorities who voted in 2008 would have disappeared by now. I thought maybe they would return to their home planets or reach their expiration date and dissolved into whatever minorities are made of or something. But Turns out they still exist in the human form.
Obama campaign running a very aggressive early effort to characterize Mitt Romney as a corporate raider and his time at Bain Capital.
That he was a vulture, a vampire, vulture capitalist.
It was so unfair. I mean, where did that stuff come from anyway?
There's a real difference between venture capitalism and vulture capitalism.
Pretty hard to justify rich people figuring out clever legal ways to loot a company.
Do you really believe this country wants to elect a Wall Street financier?
It was a steel mill that Maine swept in. They picked that company over.
Maine at times engaged in behavior where they looted a company, leaving behind 1,700 unemployed people.
That was almost 4 years of division and class warfare. We need to hope and pray that the president understands now that that policy is divisive and that policy is destructive to the future of the United States.
Let's hope that a lesson has been learned and he surprises us with some moderation.
Hope is important.
Yes, let this resounding victory by Barack Obama be a lesson to the president. If you don't moderate your...
Now, here's the thing. When we heard a collage of these pundits talking about how horrible this was and how badly they prosecuted Romney's campaign, how the president actually talked so hard about this man, but yet they forget that they want people to forget. Oh, wait a minute! We got TV, we got DVRs. They crucified Romney. They crucified Romney. You heard from every one of them who talked about the corporate at that point. What's that? The doughboy.
The numbers from the exit polling seems to kind of mirror or parrot the mainstream media. When you've got the national liberal media working compulsively in your behalf, it is very difficult to break through the noise to the reality.
Do you think that the storm threw a monkey wrench in Mitt Romney's momentum because it disrupted the storyline?
One photo op walking over a 2x4, and all of a sudden he's handling a storm. And what changed? What about your model compared to the reality?
Well, I'm buried in a mudslide.
Hey, I got news for you, buddy. That ain't mud.
That was
the wrong clip.
That was the wrong clip. But
conspiracy even is right here.
The conspiracy is right,
right
here.
Clip.
The conspiracy.
Oh
right
my
here.
God!
So what are we supposed to now say to these moo-moos? Oh well, let me get into that. I should diverse. Just diverse for a minute. My 4-year-old grandson, so it was electric. Only up in the morning, 6:30, and he's 5 years and all that. Now it's the first time. And he's what's the matter? Yeah, I said, well, you went to the voting seat with me. You know how to vote. And who you going to vote with is Barack Obama. He goes, so why are you crying? Well, it's great to do that with no one too. So you know what to do. I said, well, the parents there? He says, no, it's going to be an aggressor. What do you have to do? Well, I don't know. I'm afraid. He said, why? He said, because I can't read yet. He said, well, are you sure? They're not going to give you papers in pre-K to read. They'll probably just hold up your hand. So he says, oh, is that all she had? She'll have who you want to vote for, or you'll put down O for Obama on a piece of paper, or R for Romney. Yeah, they'll do something very simple like that. All right.
It was cool looking by us, by the way. They got to vote for Batman.
Oh, well, anyway, so they came back. She picked him up from school, and he said, oh, he was so happy. He said, how'd everything go to the vote? Oh, right, very good. Barack Obama, out of the 17 kids in the class, 13 went for Obama, and 4 went to Mitt Romney. So he said, oh, she said, that's very good. He said, and who'd you vote for? He said, I vote for President Barack Obama. So he said, well, but this girl that sits next to me, she voted for Romney. And I asked her, why did you vote for Romney? So my daughter said, you know, you're not supposed to ask people who they voted for, but since you saw her hand go up for Romney, because you had to raise your hand, what did she say? She said, I don't know. So what did you say to her, Blake? Well, if she don't know why, she needs to leave this school. Because you can't vote for somebody if you don't know why. So my daughter said, you know, you shouldn't be telling people that. She said, well, she ought to know what she's doing. Now, this is my 4-year-old. I guess everybody said he takes after me. So I guess that's the reason why. He said, you need to leave this school if you don't know why you're voting for somebody. So I spoke to him last night. And I said, you know, you need to tell the young lady, did she cry? Did she get upset? She said, no. I said, well, you need to tell her you're sorry when you see her tomorrow at school. So I'm waiting to hear tonight because I hadn't seen him. But I saw him last night, but I forgot to ask him why. So, but here's the thing. They're voting because they're ditto heads. Rush, that's why you got a ditto head. When you listen to that moron, the people call in, ditto, Rush. Ditto. So you're a zombie? So you're a robot? You have no mind of your own.
It takes too much effort to think. Mike.
Too much effort to think. This is the problem we have. Too much effort to think.
But you know what I like on our thinking side of the aisle? I like that we think about the issues. I like that we think about including people. I like that we think about trying to solve issues. You know, we see the problem with health care has been going on for 50 years now, and Obama finally solved it. I mean, we at least, you know, got a partial solution. We can work on the final product over the next 50 years, but we've got something in place. You know, he sees that women aren't paid the same and all that. We have a law now ensuring that they will be. You know, we were just talking about the election. Look at all the ladies who got into the Congress. I think we have the largest female
20.
Class ever.
20.
Right? And,
I think all of them except one are Democrats?
I believe so. But not only that, you know, I was seeing all over Facebook the other day, these ladies were talking about how proud it was, what a moment it was, showing, what's her name, Duckworth? Is she the veteran?
Yes.
Okay. She was walking across the stage on her acceptance speech. They said, not only is she a woman, but a triple amputee walking across.
Double.
She's walking across. I thought she also lost arm. I'm sorry.
No.
So she's walking across the stage as a lady and handicapped. At what a moment in American history that was the face of an election. Right? I mean, that is, you know, about change. It's coming. We're one party that's talking about, you know, women just need to stay home and shut up and maybe have babies or something. But the other party is electing leaders who are handicapped, women, veterans, coming back home from war to serve their nation in the Capitol. That's amazing. That's fantastic. We're electing, double electing. A minority president. You know, I don't understand why the Republican Party refuses to embrace the reality of America.
Well,
but you know, there are men and women, and they are all types and all shades and from all backgrounds. And this whole thing about if you're not a white, wealthy one percenter that was given, you know, a silver spoon the size of an oil rig in your mouth as a child, then you don't count? What world is that from?
Well, you just listen to this.
We've suffered a setback, folks, but we have not given up on our principles. And that's important. Nobody is giving up, but we are facing reality here. We are either outnumbered and are losing ground or one of the most outrageous thefts of an election in the history of elections taking place.
So we're outnumbered or they're stealing it from us.
Right. So it's
the thief calling the kettle black.
It's,
what are they kidding me?
Hey, look, again, you know, it's reality or it's fiction. Which is it, you know? Either the reality is demographics have shifted and our narrow, hateful campaign didn't work out, or the evil ones have stolen it from us.
The evil ones.
With their mind control rays. And they're, you know, okay, whatever. But this isn't a B movie, you know? And unfortunately,
it's a B movie.
They're trying to make it that way, but we're desperately trying to keep the standards up and have some good special effects.
No, we're not trying to keep the standards up because, as Bill O'Reilly said, it's not a traditional America anymore. That's what Bill O'Reilly said.
That's true.
The white establishment is now the minority.
I just cannot believe, though, that the majority of Americans would believe that incurring more debt is good for our economy, for our children's future, for job creators.
It's not a traditional America anymore. And there are 50% of the voting public who want stuff.
I cannot believe that the majority of Americans would believe that it's okay not to follow the Constitution and not have a budget.
Who is going to give them things? President Obama. People feel that they are entitled to things.
So, here's a thought. Hearing that lovely lady's voice.
That's Madam Palin.
Really?
Yes.
I could see stupidity from my front porch.
I feel it in my bones.
This is the part that one of the parts that bothers me the most about the propaganda BS that they spew is the hypocrisy. I really, really get mad about it. I get mad when they proclaim themselves family values and the only people who have ever gone to church or the only people who, you know, care about America and the only people who balance the budget. No. But it really infuriates me because they always claim that they are the grown-ups, the fiscal responsible ones, the business people. When if you look on any graph anywhere, their administration consecutively have broken the budgets and have collapsed the economy from SNL debacles to the complete second depression we just suffered. They always come up with this thing about, those evil Democrats are going to run up our debt. You know, our debt is directly connected in a perfect line from Papa Reagan and all the reforms they've been going through with our tax code to not tax any corporations in America. That's the whole gist. I mean, that's exactly when we started running up a debt. But it also is directly connected, you know, following that line of huge tax cuts under Bush and Bush and Bush and Bush. Under these guys, they have destroyed our economy because at the same time they're cutting everything, they also launched endless wars they didn't pay for or anything else they needed for a vote, like, you know, hey, let's reform Medicare and Medicaid and let's change entitlements here and there, but we won't pay for anything. We'll just magically make it happen.
Oh, magically.
And I get really tired that then as soon as a Republican falls from grace and no longer is sitting on the golden throne of perfection, and a Democrat gets elected, they go, oh, why would any American ever allow us to have a debt or go into fiscal irresponsibility. What planet of hypocrisy are they from? They're the ones that ran up this freaking thing we've been trying to shovel out from under.
Listen, you know, we haven't mentioned one person. Yes, Eddie Paul Munster Ryan. You know, it would have been complete if he would have lost his seat. Because you know, his seat is in a Democratic district.
Yeah.
But I
think there should be a rule that he has to resign to run. That would have been good. I would have liked that.
Well,
you know, if you're running for vice president, you should that should be your job at that time, and you don't need to be sitting and still running to go.
I shouldn't say it's all Democratic district, but it's a it's going Democrat. So he will have a major problem next time around. Now, as the great Lawrence O'Donnell said, and has been said, the vice president, Paul Eddie Munster Ryan, who wants to be vice president, who will never be vice president, therefore will never be president.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you lose as a vice president, you never be.
It's gone.
You can kiss me goodbye.
Yep.
So, but there's a couple of stories.
About his tax return?
No. We need to find out about Mr. Petraeus, because
very sad news.
That's very sad news about Petraeus not being able
to. Here's the thing. Petraeus is, I know he's a Republican, but he's an example of a accomplished, pretty thoughtful Republican. And I think he's more of the traditional conservative.
I think he wanted to be CIA so he could run for president, because, you know, they were pushing him that way, but he never did, thank goodness.
Well, at heart, you know, he was a general, and he should be honored. I mean, he's one of our leaders, and he did, as a matter of fact, help us successfully negotiate some very, very, very treacherous war waters over there in the Middle East.
Mm-hmm.
And he got us out of real danger that Junior Bush had put us in. Because when they went in, you know, with no plan and no idea, you know, just showed up with some bombs and then went, what?
George Bush couldn't find Afghanistan on a map if you showed on a map of the world.
Well, you
know,
after the smoke cleared from blowing stuff up.
And yet it's all right for him to be president. It's all right for the minister to be president when he never, ever, the only place he knew in the world was France. And never thought about doing anything with any military.
And France
he
is just
a,
that place you run away to
yeah,
get away from
eat.
War.
Right.
Right?
It's just like going to Canada.
Yeah. Well, you know,
instead of going to Canada, he went to France. And you know, Chris Matthews told a great story the other day, and it's in relation to these Republicans holding on to the last. I should have got that clip. I'll get that clip for next week where I'll never forget Star Trek, The Wrath of Khan, where he's
– Ricardo Montalbán.
Where he's setting the movie, where he's setting off the – I forgot what you call the – that bomb that was going to – that could recreate worlds.
Oh, the Genesis.
And the Genesis machine.
Yeah.
And they were trying to get out of the blast range of the Genesis machine, and Spock had to go down and take off the antimatter top and stick his hand inside and change it so it could get warp speed.
Right.
And it shows Ricardo Montalbán on his ship all cut up and blown up because they just blew his ship to all smithereens. But he was saying, again from Milton, with thy last breath I reach out and stab at thee.
Yeah.
This is what Chris Matthews, he did a story. He said Custer and Geronimo, a little bighorn. And this is how these Republicans are, hanging on by the dearest last breath. He said Custer, with his few troops, not afraid of nothing, as a white flag, goes over to Geronimo. He knew Geronimo. Geronimo knew him. And he says, Geronimo, I want you to surrender. And Geronimo looked around and saw the entire Sioux Nation surrounding Geronimo, surrounding Custer, that little bighorn, and said, me? Yes? He said, you know, whites are coming and they're going to take over this entire land. And you will no longer have buffalo. You will no longer have anything. So before any more of your people die, surrender to me now. And Geronimo looked at him and said, yes, that's true. White man will take over the country. But not today. Not today.
Well, you know,
and that was the end of Custer.
Yeah.
So
I
this
wanna...
is what the Progressive and Republican Party is doing. Not today. They're going to hold on. But you see, the day came, and it came on Tuesday.
Mm. Well, you know, sadly, even though this is a American nation full of all those Custer-like white people, when our military goes up in our great flying bird high above the earth, opens the door and jumps out, they yell Geronimo, my friend. They don't yell Custer.
That's right.
Because they remember what bravery was like. But
right. They also, when they shot Osama bin Laden, his name was Geronimo. Geronimo is KIA. That's what they reported back
yep.
from the Situation Room. Geronimo is KIA.
So, you know, but again, getting back to some good Native American philosophies, there was a great chief once that said, the white man had it wrong. The country doesn't belong to the white man. The white man belongs to the country because we belong to the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the things that I think Republicans, they need to get over. They need to, you know, relax their grip a bit and get over it because guess what? Time has moved on. Things have changed. It ain't the old way. You know, this ain't your papa's white sheet. we are moving into the future, and they need to retool and rethink or else they're going to be a footnote like some other parties. Like, you know, you see any wigs laying around? I don't mean a wig you put on your head.
No.
I'm talking about a WH wig. You know, there's not many of those old wigs and Tories and other people cruising around. And if the Republicans don't want to become as a fossil memory, like a dinosaur, you know, speaking of oil pits that you dig things out of, they better wake up and reform themselves because they're on their way out if they don't. And they keep preaching to the shrinking choir, as it were.
Well, you know, there was Obama made this speech on Tuesday night and late, and I'm telling you, there was a lot of great quotes.
Obama
speech.
Always great.
He was on
most
intelligent
presidents.
I think like the speech he made in 2004 at the convention.
Oh.
But here's a list of a few of the quotes. He said, we are an American family and we rise and fall together as one nation as one people.
See, again, an inclusive America that recognizes all Americans. Go ahead.
We may have battled fiercely, but it's only because we love this country deeply and we care so strongly about its future. Another one. Democracy is a nation of 300 million, can be noisy and messy and complicated. We have our own opinions. Each of us has deeply held beliefs. And when we go through tough times, when we make big decisions as a country, it necessarily stirs passions and stirs up controversy.
But see, that's what adults can do. They can disagree and then move on.
Adults. Yeah. That's the key word there.
Adults.
Okay. These arguments we have are marked our liberty. We can never forget that as we speak, people in distant nations are risking their lives right now just for a chance to argue about the issues that matter, the chance to cast their ballots like we did today. When there are people over in Afghanistan and Iraq that risk getting blown up, get shocked just to have a purple finger that said they would vote and to say that they voted, and we have people here who sit on their butts and don't vote. And I am not just talking about the 47%. I'm talking about the 1%. There's plenty of them that don't vote either.
Look at that little girl in Pakistan that they've been chasing around trying to kill, and
trying to kill.
Nearly killed, and she got taken, airlifted out to England, and the whole thing was what? She wanted to be able to go to school. These people are putting their lives on the line every day for their freedoms and their rights.
Another one says, we believe in a generous America, in a compassionate America, in a tolerant America, open to the dreams of an immigrant's daughter who studied in our schools and pledges to our flag. To the furniture worker's child in North Carolina who wants to become a doctor or a scientist, an engineer or an entrepreneur, a diplomat or even a president, that's the future we hope for. That's the vision we share. That's where we need to go forward. And they made so much of a mockery of that word forward, because that word forward, they said, was taken from a communist manifesto. But it also was the key quote for, is it Minnesota, Wisconsin, Michigan? One of them. That's their motto. Forward.
Yeah.
That's their saying.
Well, look, forward is also in the English language. Imagine that. And it means to move forward, to progress. You know,
to progress.
To go somewhere.
Well, it's a communist term.
I guess they like to sit and spin.
He said, now there's some others here I'd like to read. Whether I earn your vote or not, I have listened to you. I have learned from you, and you've made me a better president. And with your stories and your struggles, I return to the White House more determined and more inspired than ever about the work there is to do and the future that lies ahead.
There we go, talking about the future again.
Again. Forward.
And this is number 8, my absolute favorite. That's the one I talked to you about before the show that I absolutely love. All right. The role of citizens in our democracy does not end with your vote. America's never been about what can be done for us. It's about what can be done by us together through the hard and frustrating but necessary work of self-government. That's the principle we were founded on.
We are not a democracy. We are a representative republic where we elect people to go represent us, because as a working class country, which is what we are, we elected to have a government of representatives. We put a constitution together that structures it that way, that we will have people go represent us. And that's why Larry Kissel lost in the 8th Congressional District in North Carolina.
Right.
Because he did not represent the 8th Congressional District.
Right.
When we put him in the 8th, I live in Mecklenburg County, put him over the top. They put him over the top and sent him to Congress.
Yep.
And when the Republicans, when the people did not go out, they did not go out and vote in 2010, the people of the 8th District, the people in North Carolina, when they didn't go out in 2010, they got the representative of the Republic that they deserved, because they did not go out and vote. And for the first time in 125 years, the Republicans took over. And now you see the result. We have now that clown McCrory as governor starting in January. But Larry Kissel would still be the congressman representing the 8th district if he did not go back and vote against the president on the health care bill.
Well,
that was the last straw for the people in the 8th
district. If he would have supported the people there.
And now,
in their parties, what they voted.
He lost the 8th district because they redistricted out my district that I live in the 8th district, that helped him put over. But because of what he was doing, he then was able to not get support. And we went out and campaigned against him. And he lost. And now there is a Republican in that seat. Now, they said, well, why would you cut your nose off despite your face? We did not cut our nose off despite our face because with his voting record on the major things that would have helped this president, and he didn't, he voted against the president, we might as well have had a Republican in that seat.
Yeah, I mean,
it made no difference.
We talk about the, you know, the ending hypocrisy and stuff. Go ahead and go for the real deal. And
absolutely. If we're going to be red, let's be red.
Yeah.
Let's don't be pink. Let's don't be purple. Let's be red.
Right.
And not one of the things that he voted with the president with was a deciding factor. We didn't need his vote.
Right.
Any of the things that were passed that he voted for the president with was a done deal. It didn't need Larry Kissel's vote. But it needed Larry Kissel's vote on the health care to show that he was going to be with the president, and he wasn't. Goodbye, Larry.
Yep.
And he's gone.
But, you know, one of the things that I love about Obama saying this, though, is that he points out we're in this together, and it takes hard work. You know, people forget that. It's a never-ending process, you know. And this is one of the things that drives me nuts about the whole mantra that the conservatives have come up with recently about, you know, no taxes, no big government, no this, no that. Well, you know what? It takes taxes, and it takes a functioning government to run a country. We're in this together. You don't have a road. You can't flip on a light switch. You can't make a phone call. You can't flush your toilet without a functioning government that was paid for by your taxes. And you don't have this fantastic military that you can put bumper stickers about on your big F-150 truck unless you paid for it.
You mean to tell me?
It's not free.
As I told his...
that's what I love about their whole... Freedom ain't free. You know, they put that sticker on there.
Right.
About the gun. You know what? You know who paid for the freedom that ain't
right.
free? You know who paid for the gun and the training and the uniform and all? It was the taxpayers of the country.
And
if you don't have taxes, you don't have a country.
And the people, and I'm talking about you, Rush Limbaugh, I'm talking about you, O'Reilly and Hannity and Mitt Romney and his five sons, your chicken hawk cowards that never picked up a uniform, put on a uniform, took an oath, grabbed a gun, and stood post. I'm talking about you, cowards.
Big change.
Who talk big time about we need a they, them. We need to get them. They are cowards because they never put their life on the line. And don't tell me about I was helping God and doing God's will. That's a bunch of crap. They weren't. They were just plain cowards. Now, there are people, and the reason why I'm saying that is because they were out talking about other people who did not serve. And they were talking about, yeah, shoot them. But when it came to shooting, they were in the background to hide all the people that were actually shooting. Now,
yeah, it's one of the most egregious things during the election that I didn't like Mitt saying was when, you know, he took it back later.
Right.
But at one point, he said that Obama's weak, he's
right.
soft, he's in there, and he said he was going to restart the war in Iraq. You
yeah.
know that?
Oh.
He said, how dare he mend it? We're going to, as soon as I get elected, we'll restart it on day one. And then the next day or something, well, I didn't mean it. You know, but,
yeah.
I mean, come on.
Well, look, but see, they
it's
kept talking about everything. They kept talking, they talked about all this innuendo through the whole time. They talked about the President Obama. They said, oh, yeah, he's a Kenyan socialist, theocrat, communist. Oh, you want to take the back? Oh, yes, I really didn't mean that. But they said it already. Yeah. Then they come the next day and said, yes, he's lazy. He's a no guy. He doesn't care. Oh, yeah, next day, oh, I didn't mean that. Let me take it back. It's just like when you're at a jury trial and the prosecutor is just killing your client up there and the judge says, look, oh, come on, sustain, please. We you can't do that anymore. Don't do that. The judge, the jury already heard it.
Mm-hmm.
The jury already heard what you said.
Yeah.
They can't take it and wash it out of their head.
Right.
You know, there's one thing the president did say in his speech that was, I mean, fabulous. He said, I saw just the other day in Mentor, Ohio, where a father told the story of his 8-year-old daughter whose long battle with leukemia nearly cost their family everything. Had it not been for health care reform passing just a few months ago before the insurance company was about to stop paying for her care. I had an opportunity not to just talk to the father, but to meet this incredible daughter of his. And when he spoke to the crowd listening to that father's story, every parent in that room had tears in their eyes because we knew that little girl could be our own. And I know that every American wants her future to be just as bright. That's who we are. That's the country I'm so proud to lead as your president.
Yeah. And see, that's that compassion that he has. You know, he's always exhibited that.
And we're going to talk about the compassion because there's a clip I need to play for that. But and the last thing.
That's the thing, though. When he says he instantly, when he hears a story, he's thinking about that could be my child.
Absolutely.
You know, that's what a real parent
feels. That's what he said about
feels.
The Elon Musk.
Yeah, and that's what a real parent feels, and that's why I don't understand this, you know, family values crowd.
It's not that.
They always say, it's words. My family, but
my
not family. Yours.
Right.
I don't care about you. Get out of my country.
It's the honor
back
and grand theory. And the last quote I want to.
Now, this is the one I like. This is fantastic.
This is a great quote. He says, I believe we can seize this future together because we are not divided as our politics suggests. We're not as cynical as the pundits believe. We are greater than the sum of our individual ambitions, and we remain more than a collection of red states and blue states.
Right. See, that's the one. Again, here is someone, and it isn't rhetoric. Here is someone who is literally uniting us. He's saying that we're bigger than any petty little divisions that we've come up with, or any kind of commercials we ran during the ads, or whatever, any of this junk that was going on. We're better than that, we're bigger than that, and we can move on. And this is one of the things that I used to love. You remember the Kennedy speech years ago about going to the moon?
Yes.
One of my favorite lines, when he's talking about it, he says, we're not doing it because we can, because we need it. We're doing it because it's hard.
Right. That's right.
And this is a goal for us to reach. This is something that we can do together if we work together. And that's what the president's saying. Okay, we had an election. Now, you know, dust it off and let's go forward. And we're one country and one people. We're not, you know, 50
well,
states
you,
or
you know,
red or
red. Well, we're, the other day, you know, I was feeling so great about this. I turned on, this is the day of the election. And you have this clown, Rudy, I don't even know three words, Giuliani, talking on MSNBC, and he was beside himself. He's saying, "Oh, this president is horrible. He has screwed up. Him and FEMA have screwed up this hurricane drastically." He said the only day was the first day when he said what he was going to do, but after that, it has been horrible. He said, when I had the World Trade Center, again, right away, the World Trade Center comes in, the World Trade Center, I had the FEMA director almost sleeping with me. He was everywhere. I went to the bathroom. He was outside. I did, and I got everything I wanted. Well, you know what? Here's the problem with this. FEMA was not the same FEMA as it was when George Bush was president. Bill Clinton put FEMA in the cabinet and made it a major, major, major agency.
Yep.
When Bushy came in, he took it out of the cabinet and put this huckster horse man in charge of it, Brownie.
And turn it into a joke.
It turned into a joke.
Because they were, you remember, they were defunding it.
They wanted to do away with it. Because they wanted to do away with it.
That's why it took a week to even respond to Katrina.
Well, and the thing is that, yes, the only thing, and Lord knows, the World Trade Center, 3,000 people were lost. It was one of the worst disasters that ever hit this country. But you know what? It pales in comparison to what happened. Katrina and the World Trade Center pale in comparison to what happened during Sandy. Sandy was 1,000 miles wide. It is the biggest disaster ever to hit New York City. New York City, that has been around since Moses was a baby, has had major snowstorms. The 1947, I think, is the largest one. And then the one in 84 maybe was next. But the World Trade Center, when those buildings collapsed, it did not affect people in Brooklyn, did not affect people in the Bronx, didn't affect people in Staten Island. It affected us all in our hearts. Yeah. And, of course, it affected the people whose families were lost in those buildings.
Right.
But it did not affect people in California unless they had a relative that was part of that tragedy.
Yeah.
But the airlines were not shut down for a couple of hours like during the World Trade Center collapse. They weren't closed down during Katrina. The airlines in this entire country were shut down because of this hurricane.
And did you see that satellite image when the Eastern Seaboard?
Oh, yeah.
But did you see the light grid when it went off all the way from the edge of Canada to
right.
down went dark?
Absolutely.
I mean, it took out the Eastern Seaboard.
It took out the Eastern Seaboard.
Now, listen.
This is the never in 120 years were the trains stopped in Manhattan for three in Manhattan, in New York City for three consecutive days.
Yeah.
Never in the history of the stock exchange was the stock exchange closed two consecutive days work day. Never. Not during the World Trade Center disaster when they lost major firms that were in the World Trade Center. Not then. And definitely not during Katrina. We're talking about millions of people that were affected. We're talking about Staten Island that's still not back together. We're talking about people in not have electricity. I have my account daughter lost her complete house. She was on the beach area, Long Beach, gone. I just talked to her and picked their head and I got the kids. And I couldn't get an education because I just don't want to get out. And I just said, hey, your boss is coming back. And I jumped like, oh, you know, we had no nothing. And this man, who only knows three words, a noun, a verb, and 9/11, and still is talking this bull, is because he is a complete moron. He will never become governor of New York City and definitely never will become president. So these are the morons that we as a country have to deal with every single day. Giuliani is right on the same. I don't know why he's not on Fox News.
Well, not to be late, but I bet he won't become the governor of New York City. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
But don't miss me. No.
He won't.
Actually,
if you're the mayor of New York, you're the governor.
Yeah, I know. But listen, this is the thing about Giuliani. Everybody forgets, you know, 9/11 was a tragedy.
Yeah.
But it was even made worse by the fact that, again,
every bit of the Giuliani was here. FEMA and terrorism, and
the World Trade Center.
Right there.
Yeah. Right.
With the bullseye, with the. That was just going over here.
And not
exactly.
Not.
And if you remember, that was Trump was hampered in the news because of that. That's
why the head of FEMA had to speak to me. It's like there's no place to go.
And but I've never said it takes a true disaster.
I mean, not that it's not disastrous, but you know, a building falling down is not a disaster that affects millions. It takes a massive disaster like storm, Hurricane Sandy to bring Chris Christie into an embrace.
That is how profound of the staff that we're talking about. Right?
I mean, that.
Chris Christie is no
That's
fool.
A world changer.
You know, Chris Christie might be the Pillsbury Doughboy blimp, but Chris Christie is no fool. He knows. He saw the handwriting on the wall that there was no way on this planet that this man, a mister, was ever going to be president of the United States. It was not going to happen.
And it helped that, like, you know, half the state is out in the sound. So
he said,
hey, who's my man?
Exactly. That's my man.
The Rock.
Right. And then it didn't help the mister anymore when the president got the boss to speak to Chris Christie. Chris Christie has said time and time again, he has been to every single one of Bruce Springsteen's concerts, 129 of them, and Springsteen has never spoken to him, has walked and said, no, I want nothing to do with him. But he had, the other day, he had Bruce on Air Force One, and the president called Chris Christie. He said, I have somebody here that wants to speak to you. And it was the boss.
Yeah,
and Christie said, you know, speaking to the president was great,
but
speaking to the boss was better.
Yeah, but there was that moment of confusion where Chris Christie went, the boss? Oh, my God, the boss is on the line. And then he realized he meant Chris Springsteen.
He did, right. He was a little confused because Springsteen never spoke to him.
You know, it's all family, though. He can't tell the difference. The boss is the boss.
Yeah, the boss is the boss. You know, and now here's the thing. What are these guys going to do? These billionaires that spent $6 billion. Do you think there's a contract out on Karl Rove?
Look, I don't even know how this guy survived all the years he has. He's just a snake. And, you know, down south we used to, like, take a shovel and chop the heads off snakes. But anyway, I don't know how the guy survives. He's been around forever. I mean, he's made so much money now, and he's got so many powerful friends. And I think the Bush family protects him because he's, you know, run a couple of their campaigns. But anyway, he's going to survive. But he shouldn't. He's another one of their problems. Because, again, we get back to the reality versus the fiction that is the problem at the core of the Republican Party. And a large part of that is, you know, Rove. Rove is the guy who came up with the whole theory that you can change the meaning of words, you can change the nature of language itself if you just repeat lies all the time. You know, he's the one who demonized everything in our language, including the word Democrat, when it became, you know, something that's evil and wrong, and you just might as well have said spit on a communist or something. You know, and so some people started running around going, oh, well, we can't be Democrats, we can't be liberals, we'll be progressives, we'll be something else, you know. Just quit. It's a word. It's got a definition. And just use it.
Well, $6 billion. Now, that was the estimated price tag. More than $6 billion.
That's like a small nation's economy.
I mean.
$6 billion.
I mean, and most of them was with wealthy donors in amounts of. I mean, you're talking about when the Nixon ran the slush fund. Is carrying the money in those. Nixon is probably turning over his grave.
This has got so much on that. But look, I think the next, I don't know if it's going to be in the next 4 years, but the next many years, it's going to be just revelatory when all these super PACs and everything else starts coming out.
No, you got to get over
it. What they really spent and who really spent.
Oh, yeah, well, they say
because they're already starting to leak out now.
Oh, yeah.
But it's going to be very embarrassing. There's going to be a lot of companies like, you know, these, I don't want to say, you know, AT&T or whatever, but there's going to be companies
Home Depot,
are going to get
the Home Depot.
Slammed.
Well, you know, I like Home Depot, but this is what the Home guy, Kenneth Longman, he said, his name is Longman. He said, all I can say is, the American people have spoken, the founder of Home Depot said, and one of Mitt Romney's top fundraising supporters as he briskly sat down in a soft Corinthian leather chair.
I love the detail. You know, look, these guys, they, I hope what died here in this election is the belief that invisible billions can buy an election. I hope what survived here was the reality that the people are this country, the people are our government, and that's why our document starts, we the people. And I hope that what survived here was our voting democracy, and what died here is this super secret, never have to reveal it, dump $1 billion in corporocracy that was attempted, because that would be a very, very terrible thing.
Now, they're saying they want to know, was what they faced on Tuesday was just a head fake, or were the Republicans just not smart? Multiple Romney sources buzzed about one number in particular, 15%, according to the exit poll, that the share of African Americans who voted in Ohio this year. In 2008, the black percentage of electorate was 11%. In Virginia and Florida, exit polls showed that the same share of African Americans turned out for 4 years ago, something that the GOP turned out models did not anticipate. Didn't think they turn out more of their base vote than they did in 2008, but they from the African American community than in 2008. Sometimes they just got up to vote. African American stories of African University, but a bomb in the plus at 1.9 percent. We just get the story. We get the outcome. So, we have our company to go in and talk to Corbin. We still thought we had a based on what we could figure was seen and what was going out. Here's how this is going to be. You can have a piece of gold with a different stick. Do not think that thing has forgotten. Do not think that that thing has turned up the system, et cetera, et cetera. But I'm
listening to the same wandering through. This endless campaign of this, you know, Citizens United, which is just an amazing name. But anyway, all that decision. It's all these super talking about all the millionaires today and everything else. I won't even get into all of that. You know, they just got my lose every race that he supported. I just, you know, how do you even look at yourself in the morning? But anyway,
this guy,
Mr. A, one of our favorite games. How about this? Let's just read this little stupid. Cliff Adelson gets other outside groups more than 60 million. In prison, Davidson did not seem even overly concerned about returns on his investment. A Norwegian reporter asked him how he thought his donations had been spent. He goes, I don't care, it's paying the bills. And then he said this literally. This is the guy after losing this election where they just spent, you know, $6 billion they just flushed down the toilet. But this is the kind of people we're talking about trying to buy off our democracy. Just paying the bills. I don't care. Hey, that's how you spend your money. Either that or you become a Jewish husband. You just spend a lot of money. What an ass. Oh, my God.
What?
I mean, can you believe that?
Yeah, I can believe
it. These people.
Because these people don't get it. First of all, you know, he's done the federal investigation also, you know.
Yeah. He should be.
For his for the what?
Well, how about for his freaking mouth? Well, anyway, for his endless funneling of money into racism. How about that? I mean, these guys think that they can buy countries. They think they can buy anything they want. See, this is the problem that happens when you become so super wealthy that you can just flick money at people and they come scrambling at you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And like you're talking about dogs, you know, you just think that you can treat everybody like that, like throw them a treat and they'll do whatever you want, you know. It's insulting and demeaning and dehumanizing. And they think that because they were able to do it in their neighborhood or maybe in their local, Masonic lodge or in their business community, or maybe they bought some people off or did something. Oh, wow, that works here. Maybe I can try it on the county level. Oh, maybe I can try it on the state level. Hey, let's just buy the country. And it'll be ours, like our little playpen. It's insulting and demeaning, and look at how they act. Man, just hang.
Well, the thing is that, and I don't remember which show I was watching this morning when he said that, what do these rich white men do when they finish with all their major businesses? That there's nothing more they can do here. Oh, let's go into politics. They go into politics not to change anything. They go into politics because they want to own.
Oh yeah.
They want to own.
It's just power. And
that's all it is.
And the money they
have. But
it's also one that there's that revolving door. You got these guys now. They go into politics, and then as soon as that becomes tough or they get under investigation, you know, they bail out mm-hmm. and become a lobbyist.
Right.
You know, they got to pay those legal bills that they ran out. And then as soon as that gets the heat goes off, then they might jump back into politics again. You know, it's a joke because these people are after money and power.
Absolutely. That's all they're into.
Now, listen to this. Because I come from Mississippi, I get to tell you about Haley Barberism.
Haley Barber.
Now, Haley's, he's an interesting friend of the Bushes and Mr. Rove. They've been around for a long time together, and that's one of the reasons they put Haley in charge of Mississippi. If you remember that, they sent him down from Washington. He was there during the Bush Jr. years, and then they gave him his state as a reward. So they sent him to Mississippi because, you know, he wasn't even living there at the time, but he rode into town and big gold limousine or something and bought the state. Mm-hmm. He was the governor for a little while. But anyway, so Haley Barber said about all the, you know, he's the one who helped Rove raise money for both Crossroads and American Crossroads, his two groups. You know, that's original names he back on there. But anyway, his strategy groups that raised money and funneled into the campaign. And this was his statement on it. He said, yeah, we spent a lot of money, but without a blitz of coordinated anti-Obama advertising this summer, the campaign wouldn't have been competitive. Yeah, that's what they call competitive. We spent $6 billion to get, you know, our butts handed to us. Boy, I would have hated to see that without any advertising, would you? It would have been a 90-10 blowout.
I mean, it's just...
We had to do it this. Be competitive. Woo! Man, hey, you know you got a losing campaign when you're just happy that that's how bad you got beat with the $6 billion investment.
I mean, this is just like going into the caveman era with SEAL Team 6 and losing.
Hey,
and losing!
Speaking of it, this is what he said about it. Quote, I believe that some of the money actually helped keep Romney from getting beat down by the absolute carpet bombing he underwent from the Obama forces.
You talk about carpet bombing. That's how he became the daggone nominee. He carpet bombed Gingrich,
yep.
Santorum,
yep.
The pizza man.
Oh, the poor
pizza man.
Pizza.
I mean, Palin. He couldn't beat them face one up because they were ripping him apart about
everything.
Bain. And yet they could rip him apart about Bain, but when the president and other people started talking about Bain, you can't do that. Why are you doing that? That's outrageous.
Yes.
It is outrageous. How can you say those things about the president, about this nice guy, Mitt Romney? I mean, it is outrageous, you know.
Well, that's why we're going to see, I think, a whole era of revelations, scandals, everything else as they dig into this and see kind of the underlying corruption right behind it. Because I'm telling you, you cannot dump billions of dollars trying to buy an election.
Now, you're talking about what's behind it. You talking about Karl Rove?
Yeah, all of those.
There's a short piece here that I want to play. Well, it's not short. It's a little bit long, but it's worth playing because this is Wayne Slater, mm-hmm. who was on the Governor Grantham show she interviewed Wayne Slater, who wrote two books on Karl Karl Rove, Bush's Brain and the other one. I forgot the name of it.
Bush's Brain.
Bush's Brain.
Great title,
by the way. And he's going to talk to you about the problem that Karl Rove has.
Joining me now is Wayne Slater, senior political reporter for the Dallas Morning News and author of two books about Rove, The Architect and Bush's Brain. Wayne, thanks for being here tonight.
Great to be with you, Reverend.
You've covered Karl Rove more than maybe anyone. What was going through his mind on election night after that call was made?
That remarkable. And you had the word exactly right. It was denial. Much of what I've seen Karl in when he's been in action in the last 25 years is as an analyst, where he looks at the numbers. He's a supreme Aristotelian nerd. But what we saw that night in that meltdown was someone in absolute denial. He was effectively looking at the situation and not realizing, not accepting the reality of the moment. It was as if he, like so many people who have been watching conservative media, Fox News, Rush Limbaugh, Peggy Newman, you look other people who said it was going to be a Romney in a landslide. They had an alternative reality that they were watching. I think Karl may have bought into that, and at the moment when it was clear that it was all falling apart and that he had taken millions of dollars from several billionaires, he was in denial.
Now, the last part of what you said, he had taken millions from several billionaires. Do you think that helped encourage his denial when he realized all of this money he had raised and they were losing it all?
Absolutely. I mean, my gosh, he has been cultivating some of these people for 15 or 20 years. Some of them who were involved as the biggest funders of the Crossroads PACs, both American Crossroads and Crossroads GPS, the dark money. Those people who have given him money have been giving him money, many of them, for a long time. There's a Houston home builder named Bob Perry. There's a Dallas financier named Harold Simmons. There's Boone Pickens. These were the three funders of the Swift Boat Veterans against John Kerry. These have been people with Karl a long time. He clearly promised them something in the 2012 race, and he had not delivered.
Now, he wrote an op-ed today, and he doesn't issue a mea culpa. Instead, he gives this unbelievable excuse on why Romney lost. He writes, I'm quoting him now, Mr. Obama was ruthlessly efficient in executing an early negative campaign. The president was also lucky. This time, the October surprise was not a dirty trick, but an act of God. Hurricane Sandy interrupted Mr. Romney's momentum and allowed Mr. Obama to look presidential and bipartisan. So let me get this right. Mr. Romney was soundly beaten both in the popular vote and the Electoral College and the swing states that mattered the most. And it was all because of Hurricane Sandy.
Yeah, I think if a less charitable person might be saying, and the dog ate my homework. Look, in the 1980s, Karl Rove, a young political operative working in a Democratic environment, put together a memo. And in that memo, he explained how he was going to make the Democratic Texas political establishment a Republican electoral gold mine, which he succeeded. In that memo, he wrote the words, when things are going badly, attack, attack, attack.
Mm.
And that has always been his motif. In this case, things went very, very badly, involving many very wealthy, very influential people, and his reaction is, just attack the other guy.
Now, let me ask you this quickly. You've written two books on him. You know him very well, and his standing. Does this tarnish the brand of Karl Rove? Is this the beginning of the end of Karl Rove as a major player?
It tarnishes the brand. It is not, in my estimation, the end of Karl Rove as a major player. Remember, in 2004, he was the hero, the architect, who lifted George Bush to re-election against difficult situations. But by 2006, he was the GOAT when the Democrats came back. He's been in this position before where people say he's finished. I think anyone who thinks that Karl Rove is finished, that his days are over, that he is a has-been, are people, whether they're Republican enemies or Democratic opponents, are wishing for something that not likely is going to happen. They are wishing for something against their at their own peril.
Wayne Slater, thanks for your time.
In the flames today. Plus, fly.
Yeah, that was Wayne Slater. Talking about Carl Rove. That's exactly what I think they called as, you know, just a bad, bad fella. He's not going to go away easily.
Well,
he has made a lot of money over here, so why should he? He's making money doing what he's doing.
Well, they said that Jimmy Hoffa wouldn't go away easily. Was a bad fella. He's not going to go away
quietly. And,
well,
by the way,
very quiet.
But again, that's what happens to, you know, labor. We're talking about the Republicans. They don't go away.
Yeah, well, the
they do the going away. They don't go away.
we have as a matter of fact, does this come up here? I'm trying to get something done here. Okay.
Well,
yeah. We have a condition in the Republican Party.
I guess you could say.
Fred Wertheimer, the president of Democracy 21, which is one of the one places that helped oversee this election and put secret shenanigans behind the scenes. He said, which I kind of agree with, but he said, the only secret money in our
politics
is always that the profound shift in the way our government works is going to have major ramifications. And I think a lot of it is yet to come out. Yes, they lost, but I think they're going to lose
in a far greater way in the coming years when the cover is ripped off. Because, you know, a lot of them are operating under complete anonymity right now. I mean, we know a lot of the major Republican players, you know, a lot of these major outspoken, you know, guys like the Koch brothers and whatnot. We know they're giving money and all.
Right.
But there's an entire host of companies and individuals who have been doing it behind the scenes because they think they have complete anonymity because of the way the law is written, that if you get to these PACs, you don't have to reveal anything.
Right.
You don't have to let anybody know. And I think that's just undemocratic to begin with. I mean, it's just anti-American. If you can't have a transparent election and you can't see who's pulling strings and who, you know, who owes who a favor, then it's you're setting yourself up for disasters. It's a bad, bad, bad policy. And I think that the real fallout will be in a few years when we start to see who gave who money,
who said, if you do this for me, I'll that for you, when I'll stop, then it'll be some real stuff. Okay, but you do realize that
I don't think that the people involved,
so, I don't think they all do. And I think this is one of the tragedies of it. I think that
people who are abject liars for a living, that's what they do. Okay? And, you know, we won't call out any names, Carl, but the people who make their living by perverting speech, for instance, and changing the nature of words, and by endlessly attacking everybody who ever dares do anything other than what they want. Those types of people probably would have no scruples at all lying to people and manipulating people and telling group A something different than group B and something.
And not
that they could exploit them for a profit. And I imagine a lot of these people were just used. And it'll be interesting when it all does come out. Because a lot of times, you know, like you remember back a while back in California, that proposition going through with the gay marriage and different things like this, a lot of groups were burned over there because they were thought they were giving a nice secret. And then when it came out that they had supported it, they were like, you know, these are public corporations. It's just like the fallout this year happened with poor old Chick-fil-A.
Right.
You know, when the old man was out there battling about how much he hated gays or whatever it was. But, again, it has ramifications when you're a public company. And so I think the problem becomes when you're a public company that does things in a public way on a public stock exchange with people's public money and investments, and then you go run into your secret closet and do things you think completely secretly, which are against potentially those public investments in public stores. That's where you're going to get into trouble, because they've been giving you money and all, but they may not have wanted you to take their money and go ram a vaginal probe on somebody in Virginia or whatever you back, right? And that's where the problem comes. And it's all going to hit the fan as soon as the truth comes out. And I think that they sometimes lose sight of that. They're you know, they're not individuals, they're corporations. And that, by definition, means a lot of people are involved.
Well, with the law how it's set up now, it's very difficult to prove what these people have actually spent.
Oh, sure. And you've got the masters protecting them. I mean, Carl Rove and them spent years shredding and destroying every bit of evidence. I mean, this is a, you know, they ran presidents, entire administrations up there, that all the computer disk and programs and hard drives all vanished. You know, he's a guy who they knew, they called in a crime, if you remember, with Cheney and them. And they couldn't get the hard drives because he switching machines and destroyed machines. You remember all his personal laptops? You know, he was using personal ones in the White House and White House ones outside the White House, and then they got destroyed somehow, and whoopsie-daisy, you know, all the data is lost. You know, it is very hard to prove anything.
Well,
they're masters of manipulation.
Here's just something to think about.
Okay.
And I wasn't going to do this later on, but I'm
let's jump right in.
The Fox News and the Regressive Party analysts.
I'm sorry.
Yes.
I want to correct you immediately.
Yes.
Fox
is not news. Right.
They went to court and got it proven in court so they couldn't be sued that they are an entertainment company, not a news outlet.
That's right.
Because they were, you remember, manipulating and lying on air, and they said they got away with it because they were not news. So you can't say Fox News.
Oxymoron, I know. Well, 99% of them got it wrong. They were wrong 99%.
Their predictions and commentaries were wrong.
The prognostication was wrong.
Okay. 99%.
They were, but see, they were also wrong on the gay issue.
Mm-hmm.
They were wrong on the marriage issue. They were wrong on Obamacare. They were wrong about not wanting to get Bin Laden. They were wrong. The ID laws all were set back. But Russia are still in all regions.
We're free. Forget about that.
Peace, freedom, about. And me, this country, what actually is freedom? Anything. And you know what? I'll tell you about freedom. I got, because I
had a wife.
You know what? My brother, Dennis. I was going at the first I pass and clock in. Remember, we were right at the house coming in at 5 o'clock. I was in the house at 9:30. Mother and mother to me. Have a good not the where you I started I was going so well hey we why went
right
so I was going out probably my best friend next but I said well have do you know yeah, I see where I was going probably did but I didn't say by 12 they said brother
Dennis
was going at 9 o'clock the only way you're 9 o'clock it was free. It was my first. I didn't have to give my name, rank, and serial number what I was going to do when I left the house.
Well, it's almost as if you earned some trust.
Well, I was like, George W. when he said, I had some capital. I earned some capital. That's what he said at the last at his last inauguration. I got some capital now, so we're gonna do what we're gonna do.
I got a question now. Didn't I quote that capital electoral vote and stuff a while ago? How come he had capital and Obama doesn't have capital? I figure that out.
Let me see now. There's something wrong with this. He had capital. And didn't have 300 electoral votes.
Right. Nowhere near. And yet he had capital, and then
Obama's got 323.
323.
And he don't have capital.
Yeah. What the heck?
To spend. How does that work?
What world do they live in?
Let me tell you this. Bill O'Reilly, he went particularly nuts, lashing out at Christie. But also at the end of the, he said it was the end of the Obama coalition. Women, Christie.
This is
the end. He said the white establishment is now minority, O'Reilly said. And the voters, many of them, feel that the economic system is stacked against them and they want stuff.
Stuff.
You are going to see a tremendous Hispanic vote for President Obama. Overwhelming black vote for Obama. And women will probably break President Obama's way. People feel that they're all entitled to stuff. They want things.
Like loofahs?
Like loofahs.
Oh, okay.
The demographics are changing, O'Reilly added. It's not a traditional America anymore. He went on to say that a majority of Americans are people who want stuff. They want things. And who is going to give it to them? President Obama is going to give it to them. The re-election of our first black president may be more remarkable than his first win, given the implacable opposition he faced from Republicans and racists. Even if he seems at times like he didn't really, it didn't matter. That in the end, Romney's contempt for half a century, as revealed in his 47% remarks, brought the Americans together behind a man who wants to be the president of all of us. When I saw his tears Monday night, I worried that it meant he'd learned bad news. But maybe he knew he was going to win. After 4 years of demoralized, he tweeted his campaign slogan, "We're all in this together." His followers, after his win, let's hope some Republicans listen this time.
You know, that's been one of my problems that I've had with them for years, though, is the anti-Americanism problem, you know. We're all in this together.
Anti-American.
Yeah. Look, these are people who, instead of celebrating Obama as a success story of America, I mean, here's a...
without a father around, raised by a poor mom out in the heartland of America, who rose all the way from humble beginnings, you know, child of an immigrant, raised by his grandparents, he rose up to become the president of the United States. I mean, there's the bootstrap, happy-go-lucky, fantastic America story if you ever needed one. And they can't stand it. Why don't they just, you know, say, oh, we lost this one. We can wait 4 years and we'll be back at the game. You know, it's kind of like a football.
Okay, we'll be back. We lost this one.
But you see.
But we can celebrate America in the meantime.
Children. It's too late. It's this big snowball that's going downhill, downhill. It's getting bigger and it's getting faster. And what's going to happen is it's taking all of them with them right off the cliff.
Is that the fiscal cliff?
Oh, that's only a hill. That's a new term now. It's not the cliff. It's called the physical curve. This is what Chris and Alex Wagner came up with on Lawrence O'Donnell last night. He said, you know, it's a curve. It's not a hill. It's not a cliff. It's a curve. You step off it and you get right back up. Because, you know, when we go off this supposedly physical curve.
Physical cliff, what they say.
They can just sign a bill and reverse everything to make it retroactive.
Yep.
So this is all a bunch of garbage.
Before.
Okay. It's all garbage. This is all nonsense. And I'd just like to do my special comment right now. And
okay.
A couple of things before we close, but I need to do this.
I did want to tell you one thing before you start on this. Mitch McConnell and the Republicans have succeeded. Now their dream has come true. Because they can rest assured that now, 4 years, they can guarantee President Obama will no longer be in the White House.
That's right. They're going to guarantee it. All right. The Progressive Party, as I said on Monday on my show, is in the last throes of a dying club. That's right. They are not a party anymore and haven't been one since 2004. They're not even an organization. They are like the group of kids, you know, the ones when you got out and played two-hand touch or flag street football, you would try to get the best players on your side to play with you. If you were the quarterback, you wanted the biggest guy who could block for you. You wanted the guy who was the fastest, who could run down to block the fastest. You wanted the guy who had the best pair of hands that you knew in the clutch you could throw the ball to him and he'd catch it. This is what the Progressive Party did not carefully plan on for developing a long-range strategy for a party, and that's because they think we are all stupid. Now, there's a reason for thinking this. All you have to do is just listen to Fox News and all the talking heads and Rush Limbaugh. And it's self-explanatory. Most of the people that listen to Fox and shows like Rush get their news every day about the country, science, and the world around them from that limited source. It's like being homeschooled with information from a cult. The Fox News, Hannity, Limbaugh, Riley, and others kept their audiences in complete news blackout, afraid to let them know what the outside world was saying, especially during the last 4 years, or at least since President Obama has been president. Why? Because a black man is not smart enough to lead men and women. You know the old stereotypes that existed forever. What do you have been saying about this man has been
an outright lie. They have skewed the facts and lied about this president since his first day in office. They said his father was a communist. He went to school in a madrasa. He was a drug addict in college. He was not an American citizen because he was born in Kenya. Birth certificates were forged when he was born. In searching, they could not find one person that ever went to school with him. School records had disappeared. Why? How was he permitted to go to Harvard? Where are his records from Columbia University to show that he had grades, good enough grades, to transfer to Harvard? He hangs around with terrorists. He's lazy. He's only half black. He'd rather play basketball than do duty for this country. He does not understand this country's economic problems. Therefore, how can he solve them? He's in over his head when it comes to the world politics. He's a socialist, a communist, a fascist, a dictator. He does not believe in God and wants to destroy our religious belief system to place us under, you know what, law, Sharia law. I could go on and on. The psycho battle that goes on and on every day and every hour on Clear Channel Media and Entertainment is just like brainwashing. I should not say like brainwashing. It is brainwashing. Every last one of the right's so-called posters got the presidential results wrong. Now, I think there is a problem with this situation. I do not believe for a minute that these guys that make their living prognosticating, winners and losers, all got this election result wrong. I believe if they actually came out with the facts about the real campaign polling, all that Rush, Hannity, and O'Reilly and Fox and Friends were saying about the president and the future of this country would reveal the lies which have been spread across the airways for at least 4 years. Also, all these regressive governors like Rick Scott in Florida, Casey in Ohio, Chris Pillsbury Doughboy in Jersey, Rick Snyder in Michigan, Tom Corbett in Pennsylvania, Bob McDonnell in Virginia, Scott Walker in Wisconsin, all these people helped perpetuate the lie and in most cases made it bigger. Barack Obama came into office after a record job loss, close to 800,000 jobs during the last month. That was either December or January, during the worst recession in history. However, before he could sit in the Oval Office, the minority leader of the Senate met with 15 other aggressive party members and decided to make sure that they did not give this man anything that would help him run again, to help him, quote, make him a one-term president. As Nancy Reagan said many years ago, just say no. And they did. We are now here. President Obama has won re-election, but there is more to it. He will be down in history against all odds, not because he is the first black American ever to become president, not because he doubled the stock market and produced 33 months of private sector job growth with over 5 million jobs created, not because he got the Affordable Care Act passed, not because he saved the American automobile industry, not because he got Osama bin Laden when previous presidents said they wouldn't spend any time thinking about him. Mitt Romney said that, the last one. Not because he got the Lilly Ledbetter Fair Pay Act passed, not because he stopped the war in Iraq and is about to stop the Americans' longest war in Afghanistan, not because he got rid of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, not because he signed the bill that would prevent credit card companies from imposing sudden interest rate hikes on Americans, not because he signed a bill that gave the Food and Drug Administration unregulated power to regulate tobacco, not because of the hate crime bill that makes a federal crime to commit an assault based on sexual orientation, not because he changed the way college student loans would be handled from now on, not because of the stimulus bill passed that was the largest economic recovery act ever. This law was the single largest tax cut ever, the largest clean energy bill ever, the single largest investment in education ever, and the largest investment in infrastructure ever since the Eisenhower administration. And not because he signed into law the biggest financial reforms for Wall Street in history, not because he appointed two women to the U.S. Supreme Court, not because he signed the START treaty with the Russians, which cut both nuclear arsenals by one-third, not because he signed into law the 9/11 health care bill, not because he instructed the Justice Department to no longer defend the constitutionality of the Defense of Marriage Act. Something else to chew on. President Barack Obama will become the second president in U.S. history ever to gather 50% or more of the popular vote in two consecutive terms. The only other president was Franklin Delano Roosevelt, and not Ronald Reagan, the darling of the right, and not George W. Bush. The mister has given up Florida, and as a result, this president now has a mandate of 323 electoral votes with more than 2.7 million and probably climbing, in the popular vote. George W. Bush said during his last win, November 4, 2004, with this win and during the campaign, I have earned capital, and now I expect to use it. Bush got 286 electoral votes that year. Barack Obama, without Florida, had 303 electoral votes. Who do you think has a mandate? Now, talking about, as you mentioned, Tom, his compassion. Yeah. And at the meeting in Chicago, I believe it was Wednesday, he met with his staff who helped him through this last 2.5 years of running. And I'm going to play a little bit of that.
President Obama made a surprise visit to his campaign offices in Chicago yesterday, and he gave what can only be described as a genuinely heartfelt thank you to the staff and the volunteers there.
Even before last night's results, I felt that the work that I had done in running for office had come full circle. Because what you guys have done, the work that I'm doing is important. And I'm really proud of that. I'm really proud of all of you. And what you just said,
I have a real soft spot for men who are strong enough to cry. Thank you all so much for joining us.
Now, we didn't hear that well. The speech, you guys have so much for this country. I just say thank you. And he started to cry. And that's when he applauded him. And Jennifer Granholm says there's a fond spot in the heart for men that cry. Boy, Mitt Romney says there's a magic chancellor underneath there. Yeah, that's why you think it's so exceptional. Have you ever seen that? Don't know how to talk about those magic underpants that the homes wear. That's why he wore. See those short steps he makes?
Yep.
That's because it's too tight.
Magic.
It's too tight.
Well, hey, he ought to meet with some of those former senators and work on a wide stance.
Oh, yeah, but you see, he's got to take off those magic underpants. Right? Can't make wide stance. Wear magic underpants. Can't do it.
Goodness.
Yeah, I mean,
no.
You just can't do it. This president, now today, had a press conference. Well, it really wasn't a press conference. It was just an announcement in his. I don't know where it was because I was out of Kinko's at the time, and I heard bits of it. I was going to watch it tonight, but he told the Republicans that we're not waiting. We're not giving into Medicare. We're not giving into. Oh, by the way, Obamacare is here to stay. But we're not giving into Medicare. We're not going to give up on Medicaid. We're not cutting Social Security.
Yep.
So you guys need to step up to the plate. He said, because you're going over the cliff in January.
Yep.
So the problem is now, and that's what this president has to do. He has to take the initiative, not to the House. They have screwed him for 4 years. He doesn't need, he has it all that. He was elected by a mandate. He needs to go to the public, and every week that they do not come to the table, he needs to have a press conference in the garden,
and just
sitting behind a fireplace in the White House. He needs to say, I'm trying to work with these people. These people don't want to do nothing because they want tax cuts for the 1%.
Yep.
He said in his meeting that he's not going to cut anybody's taxes below $250,000, and he wants a bill on his desk that reflects that before the new Congress comes in January. Give me a bill for keeping the rates the same for those making $250,000
to lower taxes,
and I will sign.
Yeah, he's lowering taxes on 90% of everybody.
But the major.
But here's the thing that
yes,
I love that you said, and I want to reiterate for people.
Yes.
I do think it is time for him to restart those fireside chats.
Oh, this would be a perfect time.
And I think it's absolutely appropriate that it comes from FDR himself, that idea. You know, FDR had a hard thing to sell. He was trying to sell a whole bunch of reform in the middle of a war. Now, this is I think it's just, again, worth repeating. This president made history by being reelected with the highest popular vote of two consecutive terms of anyone except for FDR.
That's right.
And I think he should follow FDR's lead. Sometimes you have to circumvent the naysayers and the party of no and the whiners in Congress and go to the people themselves.
Absolutely. Let's see what you got to call it. Hello there. Who's this? Hello.
Hi, this is Lee Little.
How you doing, Lee Little from Union County? How's everything going?
Everything's going well. We're just trying to rest up from the battle we were just in. But the reason that I was calling is I didn't know whether you knew that David Petraeus, director of the CIA, had resigned today.
Yes, we spoke about that earlier.
Yeah,
as we were going on the air, we were
breaking news.
Here, and it was breaking news that
pretty sad.
It's sad, and for the reason extramarital affair.
Yeah, that's sad. That's a security risk. Anyway, I'm sure you discussed that, but how I think that I think that what you're saying.
And when we
comment was right on point with regard to how they treated this president and
yes,
and how he has responded with all the grace and class of a true statesman.
Absolutely.
And I just wanted to. But come on to say that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I thank you for listening and thank you for coming on and saying that. We've been saying that for some time. during this show, and he has held up under tremendous fire, and I don't know how many other people. The only other one may have been Lincoln.
Yeah.
And the you know, the Progressive Party has already gone ballistic over the Lincoln film, and it hasn't even come out yet.
Yeah, but I love your term Progressive Party. I think you should trademark that or copyright that.
I should do that. You're right. It is the Progressive Party.
I mean, these were people that were campaigning on repealing women's rights and minority rights and getting rid of foreigners and everything. It sounds like something from another century. It's unbelievable.
Absolutely. The Progressive Party. I think I will trademark that. Well, you know, the thing is that you all got home last night. We were out a little bit late last night.
A little bit late. What?
Late. Yes, we were having a little libation.
A celebration?
Yeah. Well, was one of our listeners, Samantha, was having her birthday.
Oh, I see. Well, that does happen from time to time, annually, in fact. But it's a good thing. It's a good thing.
And
but you know, this is worth
celebrating. I had to come work on this. Didn't get to bed till 5.
Well, this is the thing. This is worth celebrating, and, it, and it's exactly
that's
one reason for what
he pairs the glasses. So hey. I can't even know if I got them.
But we had an election of civility over savagery, and that's one of the things I think is very important to stress. You know, this president has shown immense class. He has been called everything in the country you can imagine. He's been called everything from terrorist to somehow everything un-American, and it's so demeaning. You know, besides the fact of the overt racism and the horror that the Tea Party unleashed with all of their negative stuff, everything else they've done. But anyway, this man has been called everything. He's been hammered with literally billions of dollars of negative attack ads, everything else. He's never lost his cool. He's never sunk to their level. He didn't just throw in the towel and just say, okay, let's go at it and start calling names and doing everything. He stayed civil. He stayed the adult. And he stayed the statesman. Yeah. And I think that's absolutely true, and he should be commended for
it. And what about the vice president?
She didn't come up during the presidential debate at all, thanks to the president. But Vice President Biden didn't shy away from it tonight. He went right to the question, what do we think when Romney was caught talking to the rich people about the not rich people?
But it shouldn't be surprising for a guy who says 47% of the American people are unwilling to take responsibility for their own lives. My friend recently in a speech in Washington said 30% of the American people are takers. These people are my mom and dad, the people I grew up with, my neighbors. They pay more effective tax than Governor Romney pays in his federal income tax. They are elderly people who, in fact, are living off of Social Security. They are veterans and people fighting in Afghanistan right now who are, quote, not paying any taxes. I've had it up to here with this notion that 47%, it's about time they take some responsibility here. And instead of signing pledges to Grover Norquist not to ask the wealthiest among us to contribute to bring back the middle class, they should be signing a pledge saying to the middle class, we're going to level the playing field.
So now,
she didn't come up during the presidential debate at all, thanks.
What do you think the vice president, if he was in the president's position and this was going on? I mean, I think he would have strapped on some guns.
Yeah. But, you know, it's true, and it's what I was saying earlier. These people, they're anti-American. You know, when you're attacking the president, you're attacking America. When you're attacking and spitting on legislatures, you are attacking America. We're all in this together. We're all American citizens, and you can't separate it. And it makes me furious. They should be signing pledges, like the Pledge of Allegiance to this country,
right?
Rather than to any billionaire, to any spokesperson for special interest groups or anything else.
Listen, what Rush Limbaugh said. I mean, Lee, I want you to hear what Rush Limbaugh said.
Don't tell me the Republican Party doesn't have outreach. We do. But what are we supposed to do now? We're supposed to, in order to get the Hispanic or Latino vote, does that mean open the borders and embrace the illegals?
I mean, you know, they
instantly.
Their mind is so narrowed, they don't even know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Neither Rush. What do you mean by that, Lee?
Well, I mean, it's indicative of a thought process from the 50s, and it's why they fail. They don't connect with the people. Listen, this is, like I wrote in a couple of periodicals here, that the strength of our nation is our diversity in culture as well as our diversity of thought. And, you know, there's nothing wrong. I mean, they have the right to say what they want to say, but they don't have the right to all of their facts. And the facts are that their policies, their archaic policies, don't work. Trickle-down economics doesn't work. You know, cutting, taking old people and children off welfare, all it does is infuriate all of America. You know, we live in a 21st century modern society, and what they want is to revert this country into a third world country where you have the rich and then the extremely or abject poor. And they're not done. I want to remind you guys that, I mean, if you listen to all of what Grover Norquist said, one of their strategies is to assume control of local politics. And
yes,
and seize everybody from. So that's they're part of their strategy is still intact. They want to take over locals. The local politics in small towns and city councils and schools so that they can be, I guess you could say, a tsunami of right wing or regressive thought, you know, that takes over the community from the bottom up. So we still have to be diligent in how we look at and for all elections. Every election is important, not just the presidential election, but city council, dog catcher, all of them. They're important.
Yes.
Because their goal is to control the government from the bottom to the top, and that
exactly means
to take over local governments as well, and we can't let that happen. That's what I wrote an article in one of the Encouraging, and I told the lady in my article, it states, you know, that African Americans and other minorities showed exactly how powerful they were in 2008 and in 2010. In 2008, we came out, we voted in mass, we elected Barack Obama. 2010, we stayed home, and Republicans took over governor's mansions and mayoralships and the House of Representatives. And that changed the way that changed their ability, or that enhanced their ability to stop a progressive agenda that President Obama was pursuing. So we still have to be diligent. We have to fight the fight at the local level as well, and not let them assume control of our local and state governments. We're in for a ride here. We got McCrory, and I'm sure you talked about it.
Yeah.
They're going to cut school funding because they want everybody ignorant. ID law and
right.
They're going to try to ban abortion.
I want to thank you, Lee, for calling in. We're at the end of the show. I want to thank everybody for listening. And just to leave us with, remember, we've come this far, but we're nowhere tired.
Yeah.
We're going to keep marching until we reach our goal. And our goal is for everybody to have the right to vote. And pretty soon, we might be voting electronically.
Well, you know what? If you you can have the right all day long, but
that's
if
right.
you don't exercise it, it doesn't mean anything.
It don't mean nothing.
Apathy is a killer, people. Get out there.
And
do not stop.
And I want to leave us with Tony Bennett again. The best is yet to come. Take it away, Tony.
Out of the tree of life, I just picked me a plum. You came along and everything started to hum. Still, it's a real good bet, the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come, and babe, won't it be fine? You think you've seen the sun, but you ain't seen it shine. Wait till the warm-up's underway. Wait till our lips have met. Wait till you see that sunshine day. You ain't seen nothing yet. The best is yet to come, and babe, won't it be fine? The best is yet to come. Come the day you're mine. Come the day you're mine. I'm gonna teach you to fly. We've only tasted the wine. We're gonna train a cup dry. Wait till your charms are right for these arms to surround. You think you've flown before, but you ain't left the ground. Here, the best is yet to come, and babe, won't it be fine? The best is yet to come, come the day you're mine. Oh, from the tree of life, I just picked me a plum.
And everybody get out and go see Skyfall.